Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
To 10 a.m. on a Sunday. I am JT, aka the Master. And this is Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. A place to be if you want to talk to me. Today, we're going to be talking about some UFC. That's right. Some UFC 184 took place last night. And we're not talking about it because some things went down that were absolutely crazy. And we also want to talk about the new class of running back coming into the NFL. Supposed to be one of the better classes in the last 3 years. And let's talk about it. Before we do, let's listen to a more Lakeside, and I'll be right back. Let's get into it. Now, for those UFC fans, you know UFC 184 took place last night, and the headliner was Ronda Rousey versus, let me get this right. Versus Kat Zingano. Kat Zingano coming off in a long layoff, off an injury. And this is supposed to be a much anticipated fight. This was supposed to be the toughest contest in Ronda Rousey's career. Well, they get into the octagon. They face each other in each other's corner. And when the bell rings, 14 seconds after the bell rings, it's over. Ronda Rousey puts Kat Zingano into an armbar. Submission. That's it. It's over. Now, I had talked yesterday with Vic on the FSP show, and told them that this is what Kat Zingano had to watch out for. Because Ronda Rousey likes to start off quick and explosive, and that's exactly what she did. She took her down, put that arm bar on her, and lights out. That was it. It was over. And some people are comparing Ronda Rousey to Mike Tyson, meaning she's so dominating in her weight class and in women's U.S., the portion of UFC, that there's no contest. That what kind of competition does she have? And right now, it doesn't seem like she has any competition. So somebody else is going to come out of the woodwork, possibly Holly Holm, who defeated Raquel Pennington in a split decision. Holly Holm, this was her first bout in UFC. Prior to that, in being in UFC, she was undefeated. Raquel Pennington was 5-5, and Holly Holmes was a knockout specialist versus Raquel Pennington, who is more of a, I'll get the decision over you, or I'll get a submission out of you. And what happened was Raquel Pennington was outpointed, and the decision went to Holly Holm. Let's move on to another bout that I had interest in. And now, I'm not saying I'm really interested in UFC, but there were three bouts in UFC I was interested in. Sorry about that. It was a two female bouts, and one of the male bouts that were on in the main event card. That was Jake Ellenberger versus Josh Koscheck. Ellenberger was the submission guy. He was the guy that would be more likely to get a decision. Koscheck was a knockout type of guy, if I'm not mistaken. Well, Ellenberger went out with a submission in the second round with 4:20 on the clock. So, all three of the top three bouts that I was more interested in were Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, and Jake Ellenberger. And all those of the I was more interested in won out. Maybe I should watch UFC more often. Maybe you should listen to what I have to say about UFC. I don't know too much about it. I just know when I see talent, and I was pretty spot on with this one. If I do say myself, I just wanted to get that out there. Because I was really interested in the two female bouts, and then the Jake Ellenberger, because I've seen him fight before. I liked the way he fought, and I wanted to see if he could carry that over into this bout, and he did. So, what else should I talk? Oh, yeah, you know, I always like talking about running backs in the NFL. And I came across an interesting article, and I have talked about this before, about running backs that get an excessive amount of touches or carries in 1 year and how effective they're going to be in the following year. Well, those DeMarco Murray fans, beware. DeMarco Murray, excessive amount of carries in 2014. And he's in a contract year. And Cowboys are weighing whether they should sign DeMarco Murray up for another few years or let him walk, even though he was a leading carrier in the NFL. And try to get another running back, a younger running back, a running back that's maybe less injury prone and has less mileage on their legs. Could be somebody in the 2015 draft. DeMarco Murray carried the ball 392 times last season. Now, I'm not saying that Dallas overworked them, but when a back reaches 392 carries and averages over 100 yards per game, 4.27 yards per carry. The season after, those averages slipped to 83.3 yards per game and just 4.06 yards per carry. Now, tack on another season. After the following season, that back carries over 390 carries, and things get even worse. 2 years from 390 carries, the same 10 running backs that I previously talked about, that's what I'm comparing to. 10 running backs that carried over 390 yards, 2 years removed, those 10 running backs averaged 75.5 yards per game and under 4 yards per carry. About 3.96 yards per carry. Now, besides that, you being worried about with DeMarco Murray, how about this? All 10 of those rushers played 16 games a season, they had their biggest workload. Only 4 did it the next season. On average, they played 11.1 games. So, what I'm saying is this. Regression is almost certain for players who carry the ball 390 times in one season, or 390 plus times in one season. Now, everybody knows a running back has a shorter shelf life than the average player. And when you get a team that gives a running back that many carries, the window of opportunity for that team with that running back in pursuit of a championship shrinks even smaller. Now, I'm going to give you two guys that had an excessive amount of carries and were out of the league before they turned 30. You've heard of Jamal Anderson? If not, how about Terrell Davis? Now, if you watched DeMarco Murray, he was already wearing down at the end of the last season. Second half numbers in the last season, he had 93, almost 94 carries per game with 4.2 yards per carry. But the first 8 games, he averaged 131 yards, almost 132 per game, and 5.1 yards per carry. Now, he just turned 27, and he's tied for the oldest player, and I'm talking about running back, to reach 390 carries. And in the last 3 seasons, DeMarco Murray missed 11 games. And that all comes up to me thinking DeMarco Murray is about to hit a brick wall in the near future. Now, I'm not saying, but I am saying that DeMarco Murray, and it's happened before, look at Jamal Charles last season and the seasons prior to that. So we're talking about 2013-2014 season when Jamal Charles absolutely exploded, and he had an excessive amount of carries. And look what the type of season he had this season. Now, he had injury problems. He had problems staying on the field. And he didn't. In my opinion, he didn't warrant the number one pick. And a lot of guys in fantasy picked him first, thinking they were going to get the same production they got the previous season. If you listen to my preseason analysis of Jamal Charles, I said something tells me that he's not going to be the Jamal Charles that you saw in 2013-2014 season. And guess what? I was right. I was right about that. Now, Jamal Charles is going to hit that magical season and stats that he had again. And the same thing I believe about DeMarco Murray. So understand, the guy, especially running back, and that's what we're talking about here. If you're a running back, an excessive amount of carries, meaning, in my opinion, it's over 350 390, somewhere in that range. Watch out for that running back the following year. It ain't happening. Not happening. So, I can see why the Cowboys may be buyers beware, because the fact is, they may not get that, they may not get the same production from DeMarco Murray that they got this past season. And the odds are he won't play another 16 games. And like I said, his production will steadily decline. That's all I'm saying. This is one thing I pride myself on, is that I do know running back. And I think a lot of people in fantasy are going to try to chase the numbers from last season and draft DeMarco Murray within the top three. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets drafted number one, thinking they're going to get the same type of production as last year. It ain't happening. It's not going to happen. This history tells us, it's not going to happen. We have a relatively rich class of running backs coming into this season, and I want to go to talk about these after a break. Take a short break and take a pause for the cause. And we'll be back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Okay, people, we're back. And we want to talk about the running backs that came out of the NFL Combine. There's also going to be a veteran combine, which is going to be on March 22nd. And that's going to be for guys that trying to get back into the league, trying to catch on to the team. But we want to talk about the upcoming running backs specifically, because that's what I like talking about, is running backs that are going to be trying to get drafted or make a way for themselves on a team and possibly help that team and possibly help you in fantasy. And I started to talk about him last week and got sidetracked because we talked about the Pacquiao, the up-and-coming Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather fight. And got sidetracked, but I want to try to finish it up and see what you think. Maybe you join in the conversation. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the master, and that's me. All right. Let's talk about this guy first because everybody's been talking about him, saying that he wears the same number as one of the running backs I just talked about. I'm talking about Jamaal Charles. And I'm talking about number 25 in your program. And the one of the leading rushers in college football last year ran for one game against Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken, for 408 yards. Yes, that's what I said. He ran in one game 408 yards. But he's from Wisconsin. And I'm always leery of Wisconsin running backs. Just something about them. I don't know if it's because of the superior offensive line and the scheme that Wisconsin runs makes them they do very well, meaning the running backs. But this guy's 6'1", 215 pounds, and Curtis Conway from the NFL Network compares him to Jamaal Charles. Maybe not explosive running or speed of Jamaal Charles, but the kind of moves and the kind of just the way he runs. Now, he's not explosive as Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles ran, and I don't have the number in front of me, but I know Jamaal Charles ran pretty quickly, quicker than a 4.52 that Melvin Gordon ran. But he ran at 4.52, one of the fastest times running back. And he had a key workout. He did everything he needed to do. But like I said, the warp speed isn't there, but it was better than expected. And he showed explosion and jumped with a huge leap of 10-6 in the broad jump and with a 35-inch vertical. Seemed like he was quick through the cones and caught the ball well. Now, he didn't catch the ball that much in college, but he improved from 2013-2014 to this year. And I think that was a concerted effort by the coaching staff so he could look that much more friendly to the, or friendly or whatever you want to call it, to the NFL. Seeing that, look that much more versatile. That's what I wanted to talk about. And I think the NFL realized this guy, right now he's touted as the number one running back coming out of his class, more than likely to come out of the first round. But there's another guy that I like, and he's listed as the number two, and he could leap into the number one spot. Excuse me. He could leap into the number one spot if he was healthy and he was able to do what he needed to do in the combine. And I'm talking about Todd Gurley. He didn't go through the medical process because he didn't want the medical teams of the NFL teams to start the pulling and prodding on his knee. Because he had, not too long ago, had surgery on it because of an ACL injury. And he's going through the rehab process. So he may not even be ready, and more likely he won't be ready, his pro day. But he should be ready by the beginning of maybe training camp. He had an ACL surgery, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in November. So you figure December and January to August, that's 8 months. December is 9 months. So roughly, give or take, 9 to 10 months removed from ACL surgery. To me, this guy is probably one of the most versatile backs, and probably more versatile than Melvin Gordon. We have to wait and see, and see what kind of production or how he is when he comes back from his unable to work out, do some kind of drills or what have you, when he gets back on the football field and is able to resume playing or practicing, whatever team takes a chance and drafts him. Now, quite naturally, excuse me for a minute, that team is going to be taking a chance because the guy's coming off an ACL. Everybody reacts differently from an injury, especially an ACL. Everyone's not like an Adrian Peterson who comes back and has a monster season and acts like he never had an injury in the first place. So we'll have to wait and see. Todd Gurley's, well, how Todd Gurley comes back from his injury. So a team that will eventually draft him, because he, I do believe, unless he is in need actually beyond rehabbing or he's not able to come back from this injury, there's going to be a team that's going to draft him. And it's a, more than likely the team's going to draft him in the first round because he's a first-round talent. He could be better than Melvin Gordon. But until he comes back from his ACL and teams can see how he moves with that knee, and the teams really may not know until the following season. Usually with an ACL with a running back, it takes not the first year he comes, unless you're a freak like Adrian Peterson, like I said before, but the following year, when the back feels a lot more confident in his knee because he's going through that first year and being able to regain his confidence and feels that he's got a shot next year because he feels that much better about it. We won't know that until he's able to get at least back on the field and try to go through some drills or what have you. All right, let's move on to another guy that had a very good combine too. Some people have him listed number two. I don't. How about Jay Ajayi from Boise State? Nice solid back, 6 feet, 221 pounds. Ran a 4.57, and that's pretty good considering the size. 221 pounds and 6 feet. He had a 39-inch vertical broad jump. But he's not quite naturally, he's a, in my opinion, between the tackles type of guy, and he's more of a power back versus the two backs I talked about before, Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley. He's a power back, but he's got some wiggle and he's got some speed with it. Let's move on to another guy that I want to talk about before I get down to the guy one of the guys I'm interested in. I'm interested in all of them, but there's one guy in particular that I, for whatever reason, I have a man crush on. Let me put it that way. But it's not this next guy I'm talking about. I'm talking about Tevin Coleman from Indiana, 5'11", 206. He measured about a couple inches shorter than expected, and he was a bit smaller compared to his listed weight. He missed the running drill because of a problem with his toe, a big toe, I should say. But he did great with 22 reps on the bench at 225 pounds. But quite naturally, he didn't run because he had an issue with his big toe. His pro day, as long as his toe was right, it's going to be huge because he didn't get a chance to run. And 5'11", 206, you got to have some type of speed to you. He needs to run in a 4.5. It'd be surprising if he runs faster than that. But he needs to run in a 4.5 to be an explosive back. And I think he can do it. Duke Johnson from Miami. Shortest bowling ball type of runner, more of a runner like Ray Rice, 5'9", 207. He ran a 4.54. Now, for a smaller back, I know he's 207, so he's carrying a lot of weight for that 5'9 frame. I would rather have seen a quicker 40 than a 4.54. I'm thinking 4.5 or less is what a 5.9 guy should run, because you're 5.9, you got to, in my opinion, the smaller you are, the quicker you have to be. In my opinion, the smaller you are, the quicker you have to be, because you have to make up for your height. So making up for your height, you have to be that much quicker. Now, he's 207, so the guy's got some bulk on him, and that could be the reason why he didn't run as quick. Or maybe he runs quicker, and he's quicker in game speed versus just doing a straight line 40. But he was quick. He was quick in a cone drill. Feet were quick. But the problem with a smaller back like that is, how durable can you be? Are you durable enough or are you just a change in pace type of back? 4.54, you got to impress me more than that. Move on to TJ Yeldon, or Yeldon, I should say. 6'1", 226 back. 6'1". 226 big back. Ran a 4.61. Now, like I said, he's a big back, but 4.61, and he wasn't all that smooth doing that. Now, he had 22 reps on the bench at 225 pounds. He had a great vertical, which was 36 inches. Compared to the way he ran a few years ago to now, to me, he doesn't play with enough power or toughness to be a special runner. Andy also has a fumbling problem, which can hurt him a lot. Let's move on to another small back. And I, like I said before, small backs have to show me some speed. You got to make up for your height. Make up your height with your speed. You don't, there's a question mark of how effective you can be because you're small and you're slow compared to maybe a back that's taller and quite naturally quicker than you. And the reason I'm saying Amir Abdullah from Nebraska, 5'9", 205. He ran a 4.6. That's not good for a 5'9 back, 205. Now, he jumped out of the stadium in his vertical with 42.5, and he had a nice broad jump of 10.10. But, like I said, that 40 is not good at all. Not good. Now, maybe the other stats that he had in the combine helps him to offset the slow time in the 40. But he has a lack of bulk. And like I said, he needed to fly because he's not a big guy. And he didn't. Let's move on to the other, the next guy, from USC, 6 feet, 21 pounds, Javarius Allen. This guy was pretty solid in the combine, and compared to the top backs, he's flying under the radar. And he's looking more and more like a mid-round steal with good size, enough with a 4.53. I like that. 6'2", 21 pounds, and he can run a 4.5. And he had good quickness and balance through the cones. Now, what bothers me, you would think that a guy with 6'2", 21 pounds would be at least able to get to 20 reps, give or take, on the bench. I don't know, maybe he concentrated more on his speed and not on his strength, because he only had 11 reps of 225 pounds on the bench. That's a problem to me. That means he doesn't, with 221 pounds, that's all he is. He doesn't seem like he can have a good thump or a good pop going through the hole or make guys miss or run through tackles. But that's a problem for me. The next back, and I think this guy here is could be a fullback. Let me put it that way, because he's carrying a lot more weight than a lot of the other players. He's carrying more weight. 6'1", 230 pounds, from out of Florida State. James Winston, backfield back. Carlos Williams. But he ran a 4.48. A 4.48 for a 6'1", 230-pound back. He needs to work on his pass catching for one. He needs to work on his moves for another. But to be able to run a 4.48 at 6'1", 230 pounds, that's got to be saying wow, in my opinion. Got to be saying wow. That's quicker than any of these other backs, especially these top backs. So he's got some straight line speed. Now, can he translate it into making sharper cuts? Can he translate it into having more flex in his hips? be able to make the moves to get open to use that 4.48 speed? Seems like he's a, in my opinion, probably a third-round pick. I don't think he's going to go in the first two rounds. I really don't believe that. I think he's probably a third-round pick, in my opinion. Let's move on to number a guy 6 foot, 208 pounds, out of Michigan State. Ran a 4.42. Jeremy Langford. Really liking this kid. Another guy that's flown under the radar, especially in the Big Ten. Looked very smooth and very silky running through the short drills. And he seemed like the way he ran through these drills was very fluid, and that his cutting ability was effortless. This guy was one of the better shows out of the running back position. That's Jeremy Langford, one guy that I'm going to look for on the radar to see how he progresses after the combine and his pro day for one, and for his looking to where he and it. You know what? I think this is another guy that may be a mid-round steal. I don't think he's going to go in the first round. There's a possibility he goes in the second round, but I think he's going to go in the third or fourth round. And I think because he's flying under the radar, and maybe not anymore because of that 4.42 speed, you can't teach speed. That's a natural thing. That teams are going to take another look at him, especially on game tape, and see why this guy isn't further up the board and rated in the top five versus where he's at now. So he may fly under the radar. If he flies under the radar, maybe a strong possibility that whoever gets this guy is going to have a steal on their hands. So let's move on to another guy that not too high on this guy, but he's 5'9", 217 pounds out of South Carolina. Mike Davis. Ran a 4.61 in the 40. Like I said, you're 5'9". If you're under that 5'10", 5'11", height, you better have some quicks to you. And 4.61, lumbering through the college drills. And, he struggled with his cutting ability. Looked tight. Now, 217, that probably is max weight. And he could be all muscle. That's probably why he's tight. Not being able to really have any kind of wiggle or a fluid cutting ability. And I've always said, you got to make up speed if you're short. And he's short. 5'9 is short for a running back. 217 is a decent size. But on his frame, he's got to show a little bit more speed coming out of those legs. And 4.61 is too slow for me. He showed a little bit of power with the 17 reps, but that's hard for me to get past that 4.61. The guy, let's move on to this guy here, okay? And we're surely coming up to the guy that I really like, we'll go to this guy, Cameron Artis Payne. He's out of University of Auburn, 212, 5'10", good size, good height for a running back. And he had a decent time out of the 40 at 4.53. That's a decent time for a 5'10", 212 round running back. He really had a real nice vertical, 36 and a half inches. But he was really a little too tight running through the running back drill. And his feet didn't look that good at all. but I think he'd be good in between the tackles runner. And once he gets through the first wave of defense, I think it'll be a problem getting to the next level with that 4-5-3. I think he can do a little damage. 5'10", 212, I like that size and height in a running back. Now this guy, I was a little disappointed because I was, I guess I had a BFF on this guy. And I thought coming out of the University of Minnesota at 5'11", a little heavy for me, 229 pounds. David Cobb. I know he wasn't supposed to be a speed back. And like I said, he wasn't really. And guess what? 4.81 is not good at all. Strictly a power runner. He'll keep the chains moving. Not a flashy guy, but he'll get the job done. But 38.5 inch vertical. That means he's got some pop and power. But he's the type of guy that's going to keep the chains moving. He's not going to be overly explosive. He's the type of back the NFL likes. But don't expect any kind of home runs. But he'll keep the chains moving. He's a dependable pack that can run between the tackles and, like I said, have some power and he has some pop. David Cobb. I do believe that he's definitely a late round, mid round pick, somewhere around there. But they may get a decent production out of him. We'll have to wait and see. All right, let me take a quick break. We only had about 5 minutes left in the program, give or take, and I'll be right back.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right, people, I am back. And like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. Want to talk to me. All right. Got a few minutes left in the show. I want to talk about a couple more running backs that were at the NFL Combine. This guy's 6'1", 224. Excuse me, 6'1", 224-pound running back out of Northern Iowa. Size and bulk. And what he needed to prove in Indy, he needed to be fast. And I'm talking about David Johnson. He had a 4.5, which is very good for that size back. Really very good for that size back. And what's even more impressive was his vertical. 41.5 vertical. 25 reps on the bench was like crazy. 6'1". 224 pounds, and he ran a 4.5 and showed that he's explosive. Now, watch out for this guy. He may jump up the draft board. trust me when I'm saying this, when you get a guy that can run a 4.5 and his size is 6'1", 224 pounds, he needed to be fast. 4.5, I can't say enough about that. He had a huge broad jump, and he was very quick in the short drills. He can catch the ball in the passing game, but he did that during his last season. So it didn't matter that he didn't show that in the passing drill in the combine. Trust me, folks, this guy can catch the ball, and the 40 and the vertical tells you he can be explosive. This is going to be a sleeper guy in the draft. This is one of these guys that's going to be in the draft. I can tell you right now, if he goes to the right situation, I'm picking him up when late rounds, because a lot of people won't hear him. I mean, know him. I'm picking him up come fantasy time. As long as he stays healthy, goes to the right situation, I guarantee you that this guy will be on my roster. And I think it can be very beneficial to you if you keep track of this guy. David Johnson, Northern Iowa, 6'1", 224 pounds. Come to near the end of the show. I want to thank you for joining me today. Sorry for the rough beginning. Hopefully it ended a lot better than it started. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'll be back with another informative show, hopefully. And we'll see what happens from there. Also, we also have two other shows, the FSP Crew Show, Thursday night, 8 p.m., where I host that show, where Jeff and I talk about the world of sports, whatever happens within the last week. And then also, hopefully, that we have some callers. Maybe Mike Wright, our other esteemed co-host, he jumps in every now and then. Maybe he'll join us. Maybe Victor or whoever joins us, and we'll talk just like guys talking in the living room, talking on the phone about sports. That's how we like to lay it down. And then quite naturally, on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, will be the FSP show with Vic as the host. I am the co-host, and we slash it around talking like last week about UFC, NFL, or any other sports, especially fantasy that's coming up, fantasy baseball. That being said, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay safe, and we're out.